Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right. I'm Charlie Burris. That is Zach Reagan. There's no intro music, so I didn't start out with my my normal, hello, folks. Well, there, I still said it, I guess. but my iPad's crapped out. And that's usually what I play the music from. So there's no music today. So hello, folks, and welcome to the A to Z Sports Big Orange Podcast. Charlie Burris, Zach Reagan, wherever you listen throughout the world, we thank you so much for listening to us. Zach and I talk everything Vols every week here on the Big Orange Podcast. And if you wanted to listen to that on the reg, go over to the A to Z Sports Podcast Network feed. When you get there, rate, review, but most importantly, subscribe. If you do subscribe, you won't miss our shows when we drop them on Mondays. Speaking of Mondays, it is one right now at 6 p.m. Eastern time, usually 7. But Zach and I have been moving up the time the last couple of weeks for whatever reason. 6 p.m. tonight. And if you're around YouTube at that point, go over to the YouTube page, A to Z Sports Nashville YouTube. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that notification bell. If you hit the notification bell, you will get notified when we go live, and you can come hang out with us and be a part of the show. Comment. We love going back and forth with everybody. It's always a great time. And at @Charlie_Burris, at @DocTNT, at @A to Z Sports, A to Z Sports.com, Facebook.com/A to Z Sports, Nashville. You know where to find us if you are watching this show. Maybe you don't. I don't know. We actually do get new, new viewers. But, all right, Zach, for some reason, there's a tornado warning going on as in Cookeville. So hopefully, I don't know if anybody from Cookeville is listening. Be careful. Please be safe. Some crazy storms out in Oklahoma. Know some people out there. Everybody, just be careful. It's an eerie feeling Monday. What's up, Zach?
Yeah, maybe we should just do like a whole radar, you know, thing here for the next hour. Just show everybody where to go. Make sure you're paying attention inside in a safe spot.
Yeah, lower level of your home. Put as many walls between you and the outside as possible. I got hit by a tornado last year, so I'm well versed.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's not fun. Let me
There's
be
some, like, legit damage that you had to deal with too, right?
Yep, took a direct hit from an EF2 tornado. The building that I was in, and highly suggest not ever having that happen to you if you can help it. But if you do, yeah, definitely do. Don't stand next to a window. I will put it that way. Cover your head. So this isn't a weather podcast, actually.
We were talking about weather before we went live. So there was
It's true because it's just
old guy talk, I guess.
Yeah, 100%. That old guy weather small talk. It is what it is. But of course, tonight we are going to talk about Tennessee sports, specifically the baseball team has moved up to number one in like every poll after they went to Florida, laid the smackdown on the Gators. And then we mentioned this last week, but I wanted to have kind of an expanded conversation about it just sort of quickly. But James Pierce has been mocked as the number one overall draft pick in the NFL for next season. I just kind of wanted to talk about like what the implications would be if that actually came to fruition, kind of run that down. And then a little transfer portal talk specifically about basketball. Maybe a guy with the last name Lanier. We'll discuss it all right after we got to pay the bills. And I tell you about Farm Bureau Health Plans. Farm Bureau Health Plans has been serving Tennesseans for over 75 years. Much has changed in Tennessee over the years, but some has stayed the same. Farm Bureau Health Plans has always valued personal relationships, especially when it comes to good health and good service. Plan on Farm Bureau Health Plans for health, dental, and vision. For better coverage, better rates, and better service, go to fbhp.com/ATOZ or walk into one of their 200 plus locations across the state. That is fbhp.com/ATOZ, Farm Bureau Health Plans. Huge shout out to them. We appreciate it. Distinguished gentleman is already in the comments he's tuned in before. He's a Georgia fan. How do we get these people? Georgia fans, Ohio State fans.
You know, this is funny. I've seen Carson Beck mocked a couple of times, and you know, there's
it's as so, the it's so number early. One pick.
I think I might have seen him number one. I can't remember, but I have seen him mocked to the Titans. And I guess that's assuming Will Levis crashes and burns. Like,
yeah,
many of us think he might. Maybe get another SEC quarterback in there, Carson Beck.
Maybe. I'm going to go out on a limb, make my prediction, and say that Carson Beck will not even be the number one quarterback in the conference that he plays in. He might not be the number one quarterback on his own roster after you got that kid from Arizona State. But hey, you know, that's neither here nor there. In this opening segment, we want to talk a little bit about baseball because this is kind of the freshest news of the day for Tennessee. Woke up this morning after a nice series win at Gainesville over the weekend in Tennessee. And this was also a little bit contingent on Arkansas losing the series at Kentucky. And Tennessee, of course, won the series at Kentucky a few weeks ago. And now Tennessee is the number one team, D1 baseball, Baseball America. Tennessee is number one right there. And, you know, we saw this in 2022, and it's a great spot to be in. That I would say that team was a pretty good juggernaut, one of the best regular seasons in the history of college baseball there with those boys.
Dudes from that team making their debuts in MLB left and right, it seems like, with a couple more still left to go.
Yeah, Jordan Beck had a nice showing this past week. Finally getting called up. So, yeah, that was a special, special team. But this one, the cream is rising to the top. There's not a head and shoulders great team this year. And it doesn't seem like there's a team that has kind of a Paul Skeens or anybody like that that's just absolute X factor. Florida thought it was Jack Caglione, and it probably is. But then, you know, Tennessee goes down there and beats Florida twice out of three games. So, sorry about you. How are you feeling about this number one ranking, Zach?
Yeah, I mean, it obviously the number one ranking is not going to come with any, there's no trophies given out for being number one in May. We learned that in 2022, right, when they were pretty much going, wire to wire almost. But I think it's a good time of year to be moving into that spot. We've talked about that a lot. This is kind of the way, last year's team started out real shaky, and we kept talking about, hey, just get it right, April, May, and that's when you got to get hot. This Tennessee team got hot pretty quick. I mean, they've been really good all year long, but they weren't, you know, leading the pack out there. They weren't ranked number one. They got, you know, top 10 most of the season. They'd fall a little bit, climb a little bit. They weren't the team with the eyes on them at the top of the rankings. And you saw how that worked out for, like, Wake Forest starting out the year there. They faded pretty quickly. Still a decent team, but maybe the hype was hard to live up to. I don't know. I mean, that's got to be a tough thing. You're feeling that pressure. So I think they're getting where they need to be at the right time. They've won some big series. You go beat Kentucky on the road. You beat Florida on the road with one of the best players in the country. You kind of hold him in check a little bit. He still had 5 hits in the series, which is impressive, but he didn't hit a 500-foot home run. I don't even know if he had any RBIs, maybe one. That's an impressive showing. I mean, that's what you're going to have to do in the College World Series. The competition is going to be a team like Kentucky or Florida, you know, obviously Arkansas, Texas A&M, those teams that are just, they got guys that can do damage quickly. You got to prove that you can beat those teams. Nice to do it now. You still got to do it when it counts in May and June. You know, we'll see when we get there. But I like where they're at right now heading into the, you know, final stretch of this season.
Yeah, it's a good time to be playing well. And this has gone on for a pretty good stretch at this point. I think barring injuries or anything like that, this team is going to be, a force to be reckoned with down the stretch here. You're going to Vandy and Vandy's unranked. man, I love the fact, you know, you probably told a Vandy fan 5 years ago, this series would have Tennessee as the number one team and Vandy unranked going into it. They probably would have laughed right in your face. And instead, here we are. This is reality. And you're going to Nashville this coming week. I guess it's not even this coming week. It's this week. What, Friday, I think, is when it starts. And I love it, but... So you're going into this series with Vandy. And the thing is this. When you are number one, that puts a giant target on your back. Of course, everybody's going to be gunning for that number one spot. And especially here with Vandy. And I think a lot of Tennessee fans know the history of Tennessee playing Vandy when they're number one. I mean, ultimately, Tennessee usually beats Vandy, no matter what position Tennessee's in at all. But,
in whatever sport.
It doesn't matter across the board, of course. But here in this spot, it ratchets up that pressure a little bit to go like, we have totally turned the tables on you where, you know, you've been this powerhouse program and all of a sudden we're number one, you're unranked. Here we go. You know, you've accused us of cheating, even though a kid on their baseball team got caught cheating earlier this season, but that's neither here nor there. All of this kind of narrative coming into this and you're the number one team. And so there is definitely a ratcheted up pressure to not blow this one. I would say, cause that would definitely be some annoying bragging rights that Vandy would have, at least until you beat them maybe in the SEC tournament or again the following year. But if you do hold on and you win this series and you move on, you beat South Carolina, it's South Carolina at Lindsey Nelson next week. I'll ask you this. You'll probably be the number one overall seed again. It may depend on if you go on and win the SEC tournament, but there's a very good chance that happens. You played Arkansas, you know, that's a very, very good team. Texas at the time this season. So nothing guaranteed there. But do you get a little like squirrely, Zach? Do you want to be the number one team because of what happened to that 22 team? I feel like that's the conversation I immediately went to when I saw that. I was like, hey, we shave off a couple of losses here, drop down to two or three, don't have that pressure on us. I don't know. Am I being a wuss here?
I mean, I get it just because of what happened in 22, but I don't know. I think this team's in a little different spot just because it hasn't been the entire year. They've had to work to get to this point to prove themselves. I'm sure they've probably felt like they were the best team in the country all along. But I don't think that's where their focus is. Like, this team seems really dialed in. I think Tony Vitello probably has learned some lessons from being the coach of that team, maybe different ways to keep his team in check, to motivate them. I think he has a really good job of motivating his players. I mean, you see it in himself sometimes. He's a lot like Josh Heupel. He has that kind of chip on his shoulder. I mean, we saw it when he was talking about the Missouri series, and he was throwing some real shade at the coaching staff that basically was hired at Missouri when he didn't get the job at Missouri. Of course, that's his alma mater. And he pretty much straight up said, like, there was a lot of, like, thank goodness that staff's out of there. There's a lot of stuff that he didn't like that was going on, things that were said. So he takes that stuff personal. I mean, I think this team has always reflected that to some extent, but especially this year, because they really show up when they have to. I mean, you go win the rubber game in Gainesville against Caglione, who didn't even have a loss this season. You give him his first loss. It's when your bats were the most alive in that series, with the series on the line. I think that says a lot about this team and what they can do when they have to come through. So I don't, and with Vanderbilt, they know even if Tennessee was ranked 10th and Vandy was unranked, they would still have a target on their back from Vanderbilt. We know the history and nobody's forgot that history, especially at Tennessee. They know what they're going to be walking into. Vandy's going to want to beat Tennessee no matter what. Like I said, even if they're number one, number 10, I don't think that changes a whole lot for this specific series. Yeah, I can see down the road. So I think for this series, I mean, you go in there and you do what you've been doing all season and nothing changes. I mean, that's kind of the attitude you have to have really the rest of the way. You know, nothing changes about that number one ranking. You still got to go take care of business every single night. If you're off your game just a little bit, like that loss to Lipscomb, I saw some people talking about how can Tennessee be ranked number one when they lost to Lipscomb in a midweek game, but and that game means nothing, right? Like, that game means absolutely nothing. None of those midweek games do, really. You're not throwing your best pitchers. It's that team's really up for that game on a Tuesday night. And Tennessee didn't play terrible. Like, they hit the ball. It's not like they got shut out. They scored six runs, I think. They had 10 or 11 hits. It's not like nothing was going right for them, and they just didn't even want to be there. They came out on the wrong side of that one. And it can happen that fast, and I think they know that. You haven't really seen them lay an egg in a series yet. And against an SEC opponent. So, you know, I'm not saying they're going to win at all. I'm not even going to say they're going to get to Omaha, but I think they'll perform like they're supposed to, and you just hope the hits fall and you can get some outs. I think you got your mic muted there, Charlie.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know. It said my mic was unplugged, and I don't. Do I sound different? Sorry. It's all live. What here?
Not really. It's good enough.
There you go, folks.
I should be back on the.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. That's for the mic.
I don't know how that happened. It just said it came unplugged there. But anywho, I generally agree with that. This team has been more level-headed. They're not walking around, you know, swagger boys. Although, I liked some of the stuff, some of the videos that we got from Tennessee social media, and just some of the kind of jawing they did with Florida and the bat flips and the whole thing. I mean, when Blake Burke hit that smash, Tennessee was up like 13-3 or something. And he hit that home run, just dropped the bat right at home plate, and just kind of was a little bit disrespectful, if we're being totally honest. I say that in a great way.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the sport now, to be honest. Like, even to the highest level.
Yeah, I want them to not be as pumping out their chest as that 22 team, and they're not, and that's great. I think they're you know, a little more humble, maybe is the right word. And so maybe the fall won't be so hard if ultimately it does come. But on the whole, this team is really solid up and down the lineup. The lineup is relentless, so powerful. And they could absolutely win a title. They could win the SEC title. Pretty decent chance to win the SEC East if they can just keep winning and Kentucky has to drop a game and more probably ultimately. But hey, everything is in front of you with this team. And I don't want to lose to Vandy. Let's be clear. You haven't lost a baseball game to Vandy. In if you were to win all the way through, it would be 3 full years. If you swept Vandy this weekend, you will not have lost to Vandy. You would have to go even a year back from that, 4 years, I think, because you would have beaten them 3 years in a row and swept them. And it was 4 years ago when they actually beat you. Like, that's a pretty serious streak you got against these guys who think that they're God's gift to baseball.
Well, and Vanderbilt fans thought Tennessee was kind of a flash in the pan, you know, a few years ago when they started, you know, being kind of brash and playing their style of baseball. I think you've seen clearly that Tennessee has staying power under Tony Vitello. They're just getting better. They're landing top recruits left and right. As long as they don't get drafted, I feel like recruiting is just going to improve the more that Tennessee baseball is kind of in front and center. A lot of kids playing baseball that are watching these Tennessee games and they want to go play for Tennessee, and they're not from Tennessee. They're from Georgia. They're from Florida. They're from these states that produce a lot of MLB, future MLB players. And I think that's going to continue. So, the Vandy fans that thought that this was going to be just a short little stint that Tennessee baseball had that was fun, feels like they're just getting started really under Vitello, because he clearly wants to go nowhere else but where he's at. I mean, he's happy as can be at Tennessee, and it's really the perfect match between Tennessee and him.
I mean, why would you go anywhere at this point with the way that this team is cooking under Vitello? You have no motivation to go anywhere else.
And Danny White's pretty much giving you whatever you want and need and ask for. Launch. So there's no infighting between the coaches and the AD, which is something that you see sometimes that can be the downfall, right? Like, that's when somebody like Vitello that's not a Tennessee native, that didn't go to school at Tennessee, doesn't have a real connection to Tennessee outside of, you know, being the coach there now, obviously. That's when you see those guys leave. But that's nothing to be further from that. I mean, he has a great situation, loves the AD, loves everything the school's doing to make improvements at the baseball stadium there at Lindsey Nelson. So I think they're settled in for quite a while here. Could be a good run. And sometimes, I mean, you see these college guys all the time have these 20, 25-year runs. So it feels like that could be the beginning of this.
I hope so. I hope it's just the beginning, because it's been so fun just crushing Vandy's hopes and dreams, man. It has been nice, but got some nice comments here. Jerry says, feeling good to be number one. Kenny says, it's fun having so many sports do well, fun to watch and support all year. It really is. We've said it before. Vitello has been such a gift to us as like Tennessee content guys. We get stuff to talk about all the way through July. And then, you know, you're basically at the football season at that point. It's so nice. Jonathan says, the Vols will take it all. Billy Bob says, what's up? What up, Billy Bob? Thank you for watching. Jonathan asks, do you think we have the best leadoff hitter like in America? But he didn't specify. It's got to be close. To your leadoff hitter is the best, is the home run leader in school history. I mean, what more do you need to know? And he's shelling
and
every team.
He comes through in clutch moments, too. It's not just like they're down 8-2 and he hits a solo home run in the ninth inning to cut the lead to 5. He's hitting big, important home runs.
Yeah, you think back to that home run at Kentucky that sort of sealed that deal. I forget exactly what inning it was, 8th, something like that. It was just a complete backbreaker. You know, home runs in a moment like that, not everybody can do that.
Yeah, and was that the 3 home run weekend? Was that?
Yes, that 3 home run game.
Yeah. that week.
Yes. And it's absolutely ridiculous. You got arguably the best hitter in America leading you off right now. I mean, across the board, I don't know all of the hitters in America, but he's got to be right up there, followed by Blake Burke, followed by Billy Amick, followed by Dylan Dry. Like, you know, it keeps going and going and going with these guys. It's pretty crazy. If they can keep it going, that's obviously the key, but we'll see. Anything else with baseball before we move on to a little transfer portal talk? A little, you know, a few other things here, Zach.
Nah, I mean, hopefully they keep it going against Vanderbilt this weekend and don't let us down here. Don't give them one for the first time in a few years.
Yeah, it's really that. I just want that streak to keep on going. Is that too much to ask to just not lose to Vandy ever again? That's all I ask.
Yeah.
Just don't lose ever again. All right. Let's talk a little bit of football, basketball, transfer portal, maybe a little number one NFL draft pick on Tennessee's football team. Who would have thought? But we'll get into that right after I tell you about the great folks at Zen Sports, the new sports book in Tennessee that's bringing sports betting to a whole new level. When you sign up for Zen Sports, you'll automatically earn up to a $100 no danger first wager. If your first bet loses, you'll be reimbursed for the amount of your bet up to $100. But there's even more good news. Zen Sports offers a one-of-a-kind VIP rewards program. And if you qualify, you'll earn monthly comps at sporting events, concerts, you name it. There's even sports book bonuses, but the VIP program is by invite only. So if you feel your Zen Sports play qualifies for VIP consideration, check out the program details. Apply at zensports.com/VIP. What are you waiting for? Zen Sports offers true odds on all parlays, so get going and download their app at zensports.com. Today, Zen Sports betting just got better. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. No danger first wager limited to +500 odds to qualify. Boosted odds are derived from equivalent parlay bets offered in Tennessee. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee to bet. Zen Sports, appreciate them at this point, a longtime sponsor. They've been hanging out with us. Go download it. All right. So I quickly just wanted to have this conversation. We mentioned it last week that James Pierce has come up on NFL draft boards as the number one overall pick. And if that were to come to fruition, I think it's interesting to think about the implications there, because there's a few things. First of all, it will mean that he ended up having a monster season for Tennessee, which of course is exciting. Although you did mention last week, Zach, that a guy like that, if they're known to be so good, they can just be double teamed and then they end up not putting up as flashy of numbers, even though they have that ability that translates to the NFL. So an absolutely monster season. It doesn't necessarily mean that he had an absolutely monster season, but just that he clearly shows that NFL talent regardless. But I would guess that he has, you know, one of the better seasons that we've seen from a Tennessee defensive end. And then, of course, having the number one draft pick in the NFL and having it be a defensive player from Josh Heupel. I mean, the way that would flip this narrative on its head about Josh Heupel and kind of how he operates is pretty crazy. I don't know what you think about that, Zach.
Yeah, obviously it's I know the Georgia fan was talking about Carson Beck earlier. It's really early to be talking a whole lot about who might be the number one pick, especially when it comes to quarterbacks, because you just so much changes throughout the season. I think Pierce is probably locked in as a first round pick for sure, top 10, 15, probably just based on what he showed last season, his body type and his quickness. I mean, those type of guys don't come around often, right? Like, you can project him very easily. We talked about, like, not saying he's going to be Myles Garrett, but it's that kind of, and he could be. I mean, that was number one pick is a pretty big deal when you're in that conversation. But honestly, for Tennessee, that would be huge. That would be absolutely huge. But also what's huge is just this conversation that's going to take place for the next, at least, I don't know, 5 months, at least midseason, and probably beyond, hopefully throughout next offseason, through the draft. You're hearing James Pierce being talked about. Should he be number one? Should he be number two? Like, in that conversation constantly, because Tennessee's going to get mentioned every single time that happens. And that's exposure that you cannot manufacture. You cannot get that any other way than just the organic way, just having one of your players be that good. So that would be just huge for the university and recruiting, all that stuff. It also puts, I wrote about this today, I don't know if you saw it or not, but it would put Tennessee in a situation where they could possibly accomplish something that's only happened twice before in the history of football. And that would be having potentially having the number one pick in back-to-back drafts, because you've got Nico, if he is as advertised, and obviously that's way too early. He could flounder. Yeah. He could stay another year beyond that, because that would be him declaring a year early. There's all kinds of scenarios there that have to play out. Injuries, we have no idea, but, you know, five-star quarterback, top player in his recruiting class, clearly he has the pedigree to possibly go number one overall. And that would be wild, because, like I said, it's only happened twice before. I don't know. Do you have any idea which college teams? Neither one of them was in the SEC at the time.
Back-to-back number one picks?
Yes. One was pretty recent.
Pretty recent. Yeah, because I was thinking, like, I don't know, Nebraska in the 90s.
Close. Recent than that, like within like the last 5 or 6 years.
I mean, Alabama would. Well, no, not really. I mean, that's, I don't know.
Yeah. So the first one, the most recent, is Oklahoma with Baker and Kyler Murray in back-to-back years. The other one's a bit tougher. You go way back to the late 1960s. In 1968 and 69, USC had the first two picks, and one of those was O.J. Simpson, of course. So that's the other was an offensive lineman, I believe, 1968 and 69. Only two times it's ever happened, which is wild. You would think that it would have happened more than that. And, it'd be a really unique thing for Tennessee to accomplish, obviously getting way ahead of ourselves there. But that's the type of talent Heupel's bringing in. I mean, those are guys Heupel signed. James Pierce is a guy Josh Heupel signed last minute, right before the early signing period out of Charlotte. A guy that wasn't quite getting the hype that he was supposed to get, and Tennessee went and got him. And then Nico, of course, identifying him early. These are hypo guys from his first couple of recruiting classes, and we're already talking about top draft picks. I mean, that's how quickly he's been able to flip the talent that's there, because we haven't seen a Tennessee player in that conversation since Peyton went number one. I mean, Eric Berry and Gerard Mayo were high draft picks, and Darnell Wright. Like, there's been a couple of guys there that were high first round picks, but they were never in that number one overall pick conversation.
No, it's kind of, you know, uncharted waters for Tennessee in some sense, and it's crazy. You know, the likelihood of this happening is low. Let's be completely honest. Possible for sure. But, there's so many players in college football. You have no idea how guys are going to play throughout a season.
No.
But the fact that just even the specter of this is out there, that you're having serious draft analysts bring this up is truly something. And it would be a real game changer, obviously, for defense, and to kind of change the narrative around Heupel. Not even necessarily change it. He doesn't need the narrative changed. And it wouldn't change the sort of like, oh, it's a gimmick offense. It wouldn't change that. But I obviously people would be like, wait, a defensive guy from Tennessee? What are we talking about here? A paradigm shift, so to speak. Maybe that's a better way to
phrase it. I mean, if you have him after you've had Byron Yeon, who went and we talked about last week, had a really good rookie season for an edge rusher. Yeah. You've got Jordan Ross. You've got, you know, you're targeting other obviously big name edge rushers. That's huge. And really, edge rushers should want to go to Tennessee, because when Tennessee's at its best, you're getting up early on teams and you're putting the other team in passing situations. So you have so much more of an opportunity to get those big sack numbers just because you're playing in Tennessee's defense, because it's not going to be an Iowa football game where you're seeing the other team run the ball 75 times a game and just try to kill a clock. Teams are going to be playing from behind, throwing the ball, and there's more opportunities to get the quarterback on the ground. It could be a real pipeline kind of that Tennessee builds if they can land a few more of these guys in a row. I'm not saying they're about to be edge rusher you, but they're starting to get that kind of talent. That these guys, you know, it might start being a conversation if you have a few more of these guys pop up.
For sure. We will see, obviously. The season just has to unfold. Because, yeah, I mean, Billy Bob says you're so excited for football season. I am too, because there's so much with this team that could be so exciting. I think clearly before anything, you start with Nico and the potential thereof. If what you're saying maybe comes to fruition, Zach, where eventually he would be a number one overall draft pick level guy, this coming season, he's going to have a special season if that ends up being the case. He would have to lay the foundation here and then have one more year. Do I think he's going to be Johnny Manziel when win the Heisman Trophy and still come back for another year? Again, super low chance of that happening, but I think the kid has the talent to do that. I think we saw the way that he can command a football field, the way that he just glides around and his arm talent that he had, like it's there if he can take the bull by the horns. But obviously it just all still has to come together. At the end of the day, it is a hypothetical situation.
Yeah.
But it's fun to think about.
One of the best things about that James Pierce conversation, I'm pretty sure we've mentioned this before, is the fact that the number one draft pick in the country, you know, possibly in these mock drafts, and not at any point this offseason was there any drama about, is he going to stay at Tennessee? Is somebody else going to, is Alabama going to stay him? Is Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss? You know, they went after everyone else. Are they going to somehow get James Pierce? None of that. There wasn't any inkling of him considering leaving Tennessee. Obviously, they're taking care of him NIL-wise, we assume. I think that goes without saying. But just the fact that they took care of that without there being any drama around it, that kind of shows Tennessee's getting to where they want to be under Heupel. Because a couple of years ago, I don't think that would have been the case if the portal was like it is now, where it was just easy to go multiple times and everything that's come along with the portal 2021-ish. I don't think that's what happens. I think Pierce is gone. I think somebody comes and gets him. I think somebody's on the phone and it's a Georgia or an Alabama or Texas. Who knows? I think Heupel, that's one of those things where you don't really think about it because it never became an issue, but he and his staff deserve a lot of credit for it not becoming an issue ever. And that goes for several players, but I think Pierce is the most notable.
Yeah. The general management has been really impressive. And as you're saying, the wins help everything. Winning heals all. It doesn't matter what you do.
That's all that matters, really, at the end of the day.
Exactly.
You can like the coach as much as you want, but win.
But the fact that you are winning still, and I don't use this word lightly, but winning just 9 games, only 9 games, and I say that because I think in the future it's going to be more, and it should be more. And you're keeping James Pierce. It's really impressive stuff, and hopefully it just continues. And that the beautiful cherry on top of everything with James Pierce would be number one overall pick and what it would do for Tennessee in the future. So hopefully that all comes together. But nice transition here I can do with Kenny's comment on YouTube. He says, let's think about this. Baseball has big offense. Basketball, big offense. Football, big offense. I love this. And Jerry says, Kenny, all I can say is fun, fun, fun to watch. It absolutely is. Yeah, you have Heupel's offense. You have the ridiculous offense that the baseball team has that we were just talking about. Dalton Connect this past year. And then for this coming year with basketball, it's shaping up yet again. You got the transfer from Charlotte, Milicic, who is a tall sharpshooter, supposedly. And you have your eyes on, and Darlin Stone Dubar from Hofstra. What a, it's such a great name. I will never not have joy saying that. Darlin Stone Dubar. But then you're going after Chaz Lanier, too, from North Florida, who had some pretty ridiculous offensive numbers. Have you heard anything on this, Zach? It seems like it's a sweepstakes sort of at this point, stalled out a little bit. He's not saying one way or another. Has anything bubbled up about the Chaz Lanier situation?
Not really. And there's a reason for that. I don't think anything's going to happen for another week or two. It sounds like he's going to go through like these G League invites and the NBA draft process, and he's going to see that through before he makes any sort of decision, which is...
I saw he wasn't on the combine list.
Well, no, but he did get the invite to the G League. What was that? Let's see if I can find it. It's just the G League Elite Camp, which is this coming weekend. And then, yeah, the combine's later in the month, like you said, not on that list. So I don't know if that'll be as big of a factor. Maybe he makes that decision after this coming weekend with the G League deal. Maybe that gives him more insight. So like, hey, I definitely want to go this route or go back to school. It sounds like he's probably going to go back to school. That seems like the most, if you're not invited to the combine, that seems like the most logical decision to make. If so, Tennessee, this whole time has kind of been the front runner. I know Kentucky and some other programs would obviously like to land him, but Tennessee feels like the overwhelming favorite. I think it would be a bit of a surprise if he doesn't go to Tennessee, and especially with the fact Dalton Connect coming in last year, just having 1 year, he could be a lottery pick in the draft. You kind of see that same path, right? If you're Chaz Lanier, I mean, that's what you're hoping for. So I think that would be in his best interest. Kinnett showed that it can be done. A lot of times those guys like that don't get a ton of NBA attention because you would think that they're already, you know, going to be going to the NBA after second or third year at the latest. So showing that path can be attainable by playing for Rick Barnes at Tennessee, I think makes that pretty academic, but you never know. It's recruiting. So we see plenty of twists and turns and surprises all the time. And I think everyone should probably feel pretty good about that one for now.
I hope that it is as cut and dry as it's shaping up to be, or it seems like it stinks. You kind of have to wait it out. We sort of did this with the offensive line transfer from LSU, where it was, you didn't hear anything for a really long time.
Oh, yeah, that one was
even happening.
I almost appreciate the fact that he didn't make a show of it. He just kind of showed up. It wasn't really ever a big deal.
And maybe the same thing happens here. Who knows?
See him going to play for Mark Pope. I mean, really?
No.
Pope's having not having the best of luck as it is.
I saw Adu Thierro, who played for Calipari, left Kentucky and committed to Calipari at Arkansas today. Basically, it's just going to be sort of Kentucky transplants over there for Calipari next year with Arkansas. But I think if you can just have this work out correctly, like Kenny is saying in the comments, the offense for this basketball team could be right back up there, and it won't be so centered around one guy, which it was obviously awesome watching Dalton Connect take over these games and dominate the way that he did. But ultimately, you saw the team that won the national title, they spread it out. It wasn't just centered around one guy. Now, they had a couple. They had Tristan Newton, and they had the center, and they had a set of guys who were elite players, obviously, and they just put it all together. But they didn't have that one dude that they just had to toss the ball to and say, oh, you do it. Go ahead. And I mean, there were just some games where Tennessee did that. And hopefully, I mean, if you just added all of these pieces and you don't lose any more guys to the transfer portal, that you could be right back there in terms of having an offense that we haven't seen that much with Rick so far in his time at Tennessee. He's been that, you know, hard-nosed defense guy. And that would be incredible. And clearly to our conversation already about James Pierce and the power of a guy getting drafted and what that can mean for you. Yeah, this Dalton Kinect situation, if he can be a lottery pick and, I mean, top five, top 10, something like that.
Prove he can play some defense over the next few weeks.
Do you really need to play defense in the NBA, though? I don't know.
You need a guy. Bit. Like every team's got to have that guy, right? You got to have your Draymond. You got to have one of those guys, your Gobert, somebody like that.
For sure. But if all that happens, I mean, clearly that's going to speak volumes to a kid like Chaz Lanier to just say, like, come here and this is you. That's, look at him, that you're next. And that is so powerful and would be incredible. And I think this is the piece that rounds it all out for Tennessee next year, especially, you know, the thing that I would hang my hat on is Zakai Ziegler. You'd have perhaps the best point guard in America next year, a pretty nice situation on the block, pretty nice situation at 2 and 3. It would be a very complete basketball team. And that would be very, very exciting. So hopefully that does all happen. But it's just going to be a bit of a waiting game, unfortunately, as Zach said, because that's the nature of this thing. You gotta play the game, and hey, tons of credit to Rick too, because he showed so many signs through his tenure up to this point that he was gonna be the
stubborn,
the old curmudgeon kind of, and he's embraced the transfer portal, and he's gotten five-star guys out of high school.
It's kind of like the Lane Kiffin approach. Like, Lane bashes the portal constantly, but he's like, I got to use it. And he does. He uses it well. I don't think it's going to help him build a football program. It's a lot different. You can get a few guys from the portal on a basketball team and, you know, have a weekend in Gatlinburg and maybe everybody jails, but that's a little bit tougher for the football team to do.
That's absolutely true.
I think one thing, you know, about this team, I don't know. It's too early to even suggest if they'll be better or worse than last year's team. But if you can just get some more points from like Vescovi's minutes that you're going to be filling, I feel like that alone will take this, you know, raise the ceiling of this team, which kind of goes to what you're talking about, not just having to rely on one guy all the time. But the Vescovi not scoring last season just created such a void when he was on the floor, and his minutes were valuable still because of who he is, but and the way he plays, the timidness, putting somebody in that slot that's not afraid to throw it up, to, you know, try to score points and not, you know, looking for to facilitate constantly, that would be huge. And I guess if Lanier comes in, he would kind of be in that role, I suppose. I don't know if you considered that more that or the Kinect. It'd be a different looking lineup because you're gonna have a big man that can shoot in Milicic. So it'll be a different vibe, but still you'd have more scorers on the floor in theory.
Well, I hope it all happens, because, I mean, it's going to be the year of offense for Tennessee, I guess. If baseball,
that's what Danny White lights. That's what he hired for the Lady Vols. I mean, that's the direction that program's going. You can tell that's the style of coach Danny White wants to hire. So when Rick Barnes eventually goes, I don't think it'll be Nate Oates, but it'll be Nate Oates like the type of hire we see made.
Well, we shall see. Watch that Twitter feed for Chaz Lanier next week or two, or however long it's going to be. But I think that's a show. It's a short one tonight, Zach.
No, it's early May, so
not that much going on. Yeah. Let's be completely honest here. And thankfully, because of the way Heupel runs his program, that, hey, knock on all the wood, it stays pretty quiet around there.
Wild transfer portal never really made its way to Knoxville this offseason.
Not so far.
That's huge. That's the way you want it to be. You lose two guys that you weren't really counting on. You didn't bring anybody in. It looks like he's pretty happy with what he's got.
I am happy with it too. As a consumer, let me just say, keep it up. Charlie Burris, Zach Reagan, thanks so much. to everybody for watching, commenting, hanging out. We got Billy Bob, Mr. Jones, Kenny, Jerry, Jonathan, even back here with the distinguished gentleman who, for whatever reason, is a Georgia fan who watches this show sometimes. Hey, I'm all for it because the eyeballs are how we keep this thing going. So thanks again for watching. And yeah, that's it. We will talk to y'all next week.
See you guys later.